Welcome to the Hudson Valley Disc Golf Podcast. My name's Pat Keenan. Jack, I got 13 inches. How much you got?
Between 15 and 18.
You got, wow. Ryan Nelson, how much you got?
We're talking about snow, right?
Yes. I was just about to say, I'm Asian. I don't have that many inches.
How wide is your snow?
Because, wow. We got slammed. I don't know. I've been out there shoveling. I mean, I was up to my knees in my backyard. So that's probably 2 feet out here in Eastern PA.
Man. And you guys 15 to 18, Jack?
Yeah, that's about right. And it's not, it's just stalled here. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. We're a couple inches behind you. Now up north, which is odd. Kenji, you guys barely got any?
Well, at my house, I have maybe an inch or two. Not too much.
Are you expecting more?
I think right around here, we're supposed to maybe get up to a foot.
Okay. That's like Wednesday for you guys. Jason, how much you guys got so far?
Not sure. I think like probably 5 or 6 inches.
Oh, okay. It's getting up there.
Ryan wins.
Ah, yeah. All right. I will also win by being the least prepared.
We
did not do anything in terms of stocking up this past weekend. It's going to be one of those what's in the freezer kind of days.
Didn't run out and get your bread and milk. Got to get the bread and milk. We live in the Northeast. It snows. You'd be able to drive in a day.
Exactly. I've got the dilemma now where I don't know whether I should just bother shoveling my driveway or just let it melt, because it's not like we're leaving our houses anyways.
Yeah,
I did not completely shovel out all the parking spaces I normally do because my snowblower is having issues and waiting for some parts to come on the last few. So there's 3 or 4 inches around my truck.
All right. Well, this week we're going to try something. We haven't done this in a while. We're going to try 18 holes this week. All right.
Let's go.
In order to do that, we're going to do dubs. And I spent a lot of time determining teams. We're going to go by region. Ooh. So we're going to have the Discappers versus the West Allen Chestertown. West Allen Chestertown. So that spans from Allentown all the way to Westchester.
All right.
I like it.
You guys got it, and you go against the Capital Region.
We still have less courses, possibly. No,
I was going to say, it might be close.
If you go all the way west to Allentown, it's an epicenter.
Okay, before we started, though, I did have a couple questions. Kenji, is it true that you guys already sold 100 tags at Discap?
I sold 103. That is crazy. Way more than we've ever sold. This is the first year we did it online, which is good and bad.
Well, just to give you an indication, normally I get mine probably at the Ice Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
You bought it at – usually I have them at First Tracks and I have them done. It's just weren't ready.
This was the first time I did First Tracks, so normally I don't even get it to the Ice Bowl. And I usually get number 45, 46, and you're already at 103. Now, I just thought that was insane.
Yeah, I'm doing another 15 right now downstairs in my basement.
I mean, it's only February.
Yeah.
How many are you going to make?
I don't know. It depends on demand. I mean, I thought we did 100 and I was like, I think we did last year 70. And I think I sold the last one in like October. You know, somebody was just like, oh yeah, take a tag here. Last few. I wasn't expecting to be this far already.
But you guys, since you guys start in January, you only had 3 months. You know what I mean? You didn't have a lot of time this year to sell just because, with everything going on.
Right. Like, if someone buying so late in the year, I always tell them, God, you might as well wait till January, then you get to play for it. I don't know, it's just a donation.
You give them a discount, you know. I have a philosophical tag question.
All right.
So everybody likes to sell tags, right? It's good you raise money for your club.
Wedge doesn't sell tags.
Oh, interesting.
Wedge sells memberships, and it comes with a tag.
Interesting. Well, I think that kind of gets to the point of it.
We did it differently. We do both.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. It's an important distinction because, what is a tag getting you? Is it for the competition or is it, your contribution to a club
because you want to support it? Your question is why we don't sell tags.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing is, do you guys get upset when a tag is sold to somebody that's, out of state, sure. and is interested in supporting the club,
yeah, so
but then takes that tag back to, say, Pennsylvania.
That's why we don't
never return.
That's why we don't
not one bit. you buy a tag from me, and I don't care if you ever play for it.
Yep.
Ah, interesting. And okay.
Wedge is in the same place for the most part. You know, there's always a contingent that you know would like those tags to stay local. So, like Lidge, Long Island Disc Golf, those. When they started out, those guys were pretty hot for, you know, tags to be in play. You know, things didn't work out exactly the way they wanted to because people wanted to support the club. And so they bought tag. I don't we never wanted to, you know, keep you from supporting the club by saying, you know, your tag had to be in play. So Lidge,
right.
Lidge actually 1 year, two years ago, maybe, I can't remember, but they made like locals only tags, you know, in addition to the membership tags, the idea being that they, but nobody played for them and they never did it again.
Well, you know, Skylands this year started, I don't know how many they made it. I think it's only like 5 or 10, but they made no, with no numbers on them just for, you know,
we've thought about doing that.
Yeah. That's an interesting solution.
I've done that in the past before, and I had someone ask for – so Jason is the only one that's really going to understand this one, but Matt Colley lets the tag number get in his head, and it messes with his game too much. So he said, I'm not buying a tag this year because the competition, you know, messes with my head. I'm like, it's just a piece of wood, Matt, and you play, like, every day. At what point do you not care what tag you have? Because you're just going to play for it another day or two. Who cares?
At no point.
Yeah. You know, I don't care what tag I have until maybe the last week of December when I put in, oh, maybe I'll go play that guy and see if I can improve my tag. And totally backfired this year. I think I dropped 50 on my last round of the year.
I had a better tag than Kenji at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think I finished with 67 out of 70.
So we have people like that too. Josh Isaac, as a matter of fact, is a guy who will buy a tag and then give it to somebody. Hmm. He supports the club and then he hands the tag away. The tag drives him nuts. Tag rounds drive him nuts. Because
that's great.
It gets in, and I mean, and he'll say not just his head, it gets like in everybody's head. He doesn't like the vibe surrounding, you know, somebody calls tags and then he all of a sudden doesn't like the vibe in the group. Like it's become competitive for him.
See, to me, it's competitive, yeah, but I mean, it's just a tag. I think people put too much emphasis on the tag, the number you end up with.
Well, it's funny because over the course of the season, you know, it almost doesn't matter until the last 2 weeks.
Exactly. Right?
It's like you can make your, you know, you can make up your ground in, you know, the last two tag rounds if you really want to.
Sure.
The tough thing about the Lehigh Valley tags down here, the LVDC, is they do their final tag round at the Ice Bowl, which is a notoriously
crappy one.
Drunken affair. Right. So it's usually, you know, my drunk self against the course, and I'll bring in like the 9 tag and leave with something much worse.
Don't let him fool you. This guy, he'll throw a bogey, then a birdie, then a bogey, then a birdie when he's drunk. He won't do much better than par golf, but he'll play par golf easy.
Well, I will say this year I did shoot -4, and I think I retained the 15. So not terrible.
Good job. You guys don't also track your tags, right, Jack?
No, we don't. We don't track them.
That's I think going to be a leap for us this year. We have always tracked our tags and done a pretty good job of getting on people about what tag they have and making sure they post their matches.
Ooh,
this year might be a little bit tough.
Well, you know what? I really like the idea of, and I haven't figured out how it would work. No sequential numbers on a tag, but a virtual tag that you could basically, you know, tap the other guy's phone and swap tags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in this day and age, it would be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. So Lidge actually did. Lidge put a QR code on the back.
Yeah. But nobody scanned.
But nobody ever scanned mine. I know I didn't scan mine.
Yeah. Pat Collins he said it was like, what, 50% at best?
Yeah. And he put a lot of effort into it too. You know, to make
that seems super simple. They couldn't even get like what, so like the after the players would they would just go and get QR code with
all you had to do was scan the tag, it brought you to basically a spreadsheet where I think all you did was, you know, it knew who you were,
Yeah, so I think it linked you to that number, and I think all you had to do was verify it.
Yeah, and say who you played.
Yeah.
That's a really good indication of how successful you can be. I mean, it could not have been easier.
Right. We've had pretty good buy-in. It's more of a little more of the diehards that don't update their tags as much as they should, you know, just because they're lazy.
Right.
Than it is more of the new people. The new people are like, oh, yeah, cool, I'll do that. You know, I see all my stuff online and right. see my tag badges, and they get excited. And more of the guys who really don't care, just, you know, they buy a tag every year. If you like to support the club, that don't.
Keep it.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes this year. We'll try to keep track of it as best we can.
But I think the answer to your question, Ryan, is it at least at this party is you know, I know Discap, I know Wedge, Lidge even at this point too. You know, our clubs want your support more than we give a crap about where the tags go. It's not perfect,
right?
You know, there's always some people who would really like the competitive aspect of a real sort of tag ladder system where you could play, but it's not enough people for it to matter.
You're right. It's about 10 people, and usually they're the people that are the top 15 in a club that get upset when they bring the highest, you know, the lowest tag, and the next one's like a 25.
Right.
So, you know, I understand that sympathy, but I'm all on board with, you know, it's a monetary, you know, contribution to the club.
Exactly. And, yeah.
You know, the tag is just like a nice keepsake that you get at the end of the year. I'm all on board with that philosophy. Anyways, Pat, I'm sure I derailed your your agenda here.
I know, but why don't you pick a first hole then? Wait, Team West Allen Chestertown.
Wow,
love it.
That's a lot.
All right, we're finishing off the front nine. We're gonna go to hole nine.
We can shorten it to whacked.
Yeah.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Did you say hole nine?
Do it.
Hole nine.
Hole nine is okay. Boom. Kenji. Well, actually Ryan, but Kenji's asked about this. Beginning next year, the PDGA Champions Cup will become the sport's fourth major. The PDGA Board of Directors has approved the details of the PDGA Champions Cup, which, along with the PDGA Professional Disc Golf World Championships, European Open, and USDGC, USWDGC, will be the fourth pro-only championship on the disc golf calendar. First, Ryan, do you have an issue with them adding a fourth major?
No, I'm all for it because there was nothing in the first quarter of the season, or first like half of the season. First major wasn't usually until like July. So I think it balances out the calendar, and it needed to happen and has been a long time coming for sure.
Anybody else have a differing opinion?
No, I think a fourth major is great. What do you think about the contention over match play?
That's Pat's next question.
I'll read my next part of my...
I even had to hold myself back.
It will feature four rounds of traditional stroke play over the first 4 days and finish with two rounds of seated match play between the top four players in both FPO and MPO fields on the final day. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
It's just like... you're dipping your toes in the alternate format water, but you don't dive in. And that's what bothers me. You know, like, I feel like if they wanted to do something different, then they should have gone with all match play, or they should have, I would think maybe done a two round stroke play, take the top 16, 32 players, and then do a seated, you know, match play tournament for the rest. So at least when you go there, you know, if you're one of like the 100 pros or 150 pros, however many make it, you know, you have something to play for the first couple of days. And then, you know, it's to qualify. So you're not like losing out if you go there and you get disqualified on the first day if it was like a all single elimination, you know, match play round. So to me, it's like, I just feel like this should have gone all in with the match play, or at least made it more about the match play and not about the stroke play, where right now it feels like it's leaning more on the stroke play. Because like, if I was a pro and I won the stroke play and lost the four-person match play, I'm going to be pretty upset because I did all the work to get there. And then just in some fluky format, I lost my major championship, you know? So I think the pros are even going to see it that way, right? They're going to think, oh, well, I won the stroke play. And, you know, that was the hardest part about it. So I think it's a good idea to have a fourth major. And I know that they have to differentiate the event from other majors and just from other tournaments anyways, right? But I don't think that they nailed it with the format. That's my initial impressions.
Kenji, I know you've got an opinion.
I thought they did it just right. I thought that four players, match play, why is it fluky if you know that going in? You know it's match play. You know you got to be the top four. You're not looking to – you don't have to be the best. You know you got to get into that top four. And then match play, what's fluky about match play? You know, I mean, it's –
I'll tell you what's fluky about match play. And you know this.
If you're aware of how match play operates, I don't find it fluky. You still have to execute.
Just being aware is not enough. And you know this too. And the fact is – match play allows for a person who is better at match play to beat a person who is better at disc golf.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I could agree with that too. You have to know when you can be aggressive, when you should be aggressive, and understand that each hole is only one hole. It's not, oh, I lost three strokes.
Yep. And I mean, this is... And I'm certainly not – I'm not hammering on the format. I think the whole thing's hysterical. and also interesting, like I do think – like what's interesting to me about it is that it's a recognition that there's just a shit ton of really fun match play going on that's not happening at the PDGA level.
Exactly. This is the first time match play has been used in a major – right. Yeah. Besides the format for the disc golf, you know, Pro Tour, which doing match play
and the President's Cup.
Yeah, but what I will say is
the President's Cup. When was the last time the President's Cup happened?
It happens every year. It's just never. It's never like covered for some reason. Right? Even though it's like
Team Europe versus Team USA.
Awesome. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm sure it'll be covered next time whenever that happens. But yeah, they have lots of match play. You know, and then it's
yeah. I agree with match play for a team format. I love it in our winter team challenge. I thought it was good.
Do you think it makes more compelling TV, Kenji?
Yes, because I think it'll allow players to be more aggressive more often. They know they have to make it.
Then you should do Stableford.
You know, it doesn't matter if I go 50 long; it has to go in, or I'm losing this.
Yeah.
I'll say this, the Ryder Cup is the only ball golf I will watch, and it's because it's match play. So I find, and I don't watch professional disc golf either. I don't find it compelling, but neither here nor there. I will watch this round, but I agree with you, Ryan. I'd rather see it in more of a tournament format where, you know, 16 people get into it.
And then I think they're getting too much like the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships, and I think they wanted to kind of differentiate themselves, right?
But that's not match play. That's just who throws a better stroke play round. So I'm all on board with match play. I love match play. It's just that I feel like they just dipped their toes in, and they should have just dove in head first and made the emphasis on the tournament the match play.
Right. It's like they decided it was going to be a couple of rounds plus a Safari 9. except they didn't select anywhere near the amount that of pros that they would put into that final nine. You know,
right.
You're talking about
exactly.
It's going to take four guys and I will say absolutely the best disc golfer all weekend long may not win.
Yeah. And that's got to be frustrating to pros.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I think it's probably compelling to watch, but I think that's going to be why pros won't like it.
Right. Yeah.
I think that the guy who manages matches best, especially at that level, you can take the top four guys from this major and put them in match play. Whoever's got the best head for match is going to win that.
I just like to see the match play. We see stroke play all the time, everywhere. Yeah. Most tournaments are stroke play. And I agree with it. I like the little bit of match play at the end. I think that it's just enough to not make it where someone can get lucky and match play their way all the way to the championship of a major. You know, I like that it's so much stroke play to get yourself that to those top four.
I don't see what you're saying at all.
I'm saying it not as a pro. I'm saying it as a disc golf fan. I think I will enjoy this format.
Yeah, and then I agree with that too.
You know, that's the aspect I'm looking at.
Agree with that. I'm excited to see it. I can see why it's controversial. And as Ryan said, like, make it about that. I'm standing in the shoes of disc golfers who. Professional disc golfer, sorry. To me, the format is stroke play, and then like a gimmick. That last round, I think, is gimmicky compared with
Do you feel the same about like Safari Nines or a Final Nine?
Not really, because
the stroke scores continue on to that final nine.
Right, you haven't lost anything going into that.
It's the reset that bothers you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's really that, you know, we've made this stroke play. It's been stroke play to get to this championship, and now the guy who's going to win it, in my opinion, is really not necessarily the guy who's been the best golfer on the day.
Or the best match player.
Right.
That's the thing that bothers me, is it's not actually determining who is good at match play, right? because there isn't enough sample size. Yes, exactly. That's why I wish it was more all in, because I'm not opposed to the format, because I think that disc golf would benefit from understanding who's the best match player, who's the best putter. We already have that, right? It's Matt Bell, hands down. But we don't understand who the best match player is, and we're not going to understand after that. Like,
I would love to see a total match play tournament. Big.
And talk about like human interest. Wouldn't you want to know like who smokes guys in their heads, right? Yep. Like, I want to know that.
Yeah, I've heard Josh Anton is like an excellent match player. Not that I admire him at all, but I would be interested to see who has that grit, that head game kind of, you know, going on. Absolutely. Like, how does Paul head, like, you know, stack up? He's pretty icy, but how can, does he deal with match play well?
Right.
You know? I think you need an extreme benefactor to make that match play tournament happen.
I agree with that. I agree.
It's going to be high stakes money for them to be make it worth it. I'm going to travel all this way, maybe lose in my first round and be done.
Well, that's why you do two rounds of stroke play, you determine who, and I'm not taking credit for this. This is what the Ulti World guys suggested. it's like do two rounds, you get the qualifiers, and then you put 64 people in a, you know, double elimination match play bracket. And then you actually get to, you kind of tackle a couple of things. You make sure that everybody that shows up gets to play enough golf to make it worth it to show up. Because it's a qualifying event, and then once you get in, you know, you could lose your first round, and the worst case scenario is you lose both matches in a row, and you get sent home. You know, it weights it more on the match play side, but still encourages people to come. So that's why I think that's a better format for this, because I think match play is fun. I think it's just, to your point, Kenji, it's tough to entice people to come to a match play only tournament.
This is supposed to ultimately be the core competency of the Pro Tour, is to be able to pay 72 players every week.
Yeah.
So to do this right, people who come and lose in the first round, or maybe it's a double elimination and, you know, you lose both your matches, rapid fire session. The Pro Tour still needs to pay those guys.
Yeah.
If this works, you know, if professional disc golf works, which I'm not convinced it does. But that's supposed to be the competency of the Pro Tour, is that we see 72 guys all year long, the same 72 guys, pretty much, in these kind of competitions. And I agree, for it to work, there has to be a person there that still, you know, pays for gas and a hotel room and some per diem for the guys who dump out early.
I would say, Pat, at this rate, I think what is it? So hole nine, 20 minutes. What else you got cooked up for us?
We got to let the group behind us play through.
Jason, what hole do you want to play?
let's go to 10 since we're on nine.
10. Okay. rules question for you. Is there a penalty for failing to record a score for a particular hole, even if the total is correct? Is there a penalty for failing to record a score for a particular hole, even if the total is correct?
My gut says no, but my logic says yeah, but I'm going to go with my gut and say no.
Yes, scorecards submitted without a score marked for a hole are incorrect and will have two penalty throws added to the correct total score.
Wow. Makes sense. I can't argue that.
Yeah, you can't check it.
You can't check it. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was hole 10. Jack, what do you got?
What's out there? I'll take 18. We're at the finish. It was great shooting with you.
You know what? This was a late addition. Did you guys hear Screech died? My wife told me.
That's fantastic.
I just saw it on the news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just found out about his cancer like a month ago, right? A month and a half ago.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Would you believe that I've never seen an episode of Saved by the Bell in my entire life?
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Maybe a little young. Okay.
But you knew who Screech was.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, oh, for sure.
Yep. Still, that's crazy.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell's right in my wheelhouse.
I will say I knew who Screech was before today. It wasn't just his death that enlightened me to his presence.
You spent a lot of time researching.
All right, Kenji, 9, 10, and 18 are out.
Let's go to hole one.
Hole one. Jason, haven't spoke with you since the Discap Dream 18. I wanted to get your opinion on hole 9 at Mindkill. My question to you was, were you worried that they would go with have old J Park 9 on the ballot? Do you think you might have still won with hole 9 at Mindkill?
I think it's hard to beat hole 9 at Mindkill. That's probably one of my favorite holes anywhere.
What's the distance on it?
It's from orange to orange, I think, is almost 800 feet. 799, somewhere around there.
You haven't played it, Ryan?
I have not yet.
Jack either?
No, I have not.
Oh, you're missing out.
Down in Chestertown.
That was fun. That is a great hole. We may lose that hole, right?
Can you describe it, Jason, for these two?
Yeah, so depending on what layout you play, it's either a par 3, par 4, or par 5. But what really makes it is the orange pin location, the long pin location. So regardless where you tee off, you basically go down this fairway that's on your left is this straight line of trees. The fairway slopes up to the right, and it's a beautifully manicured lawn that the park does an excellent job of keeping mowed. At the top of the slope are these gorgeous maple trees, hardwoods that go along the edge of the sidewalk and the pool. And then it goes slightly downhill to a little green that's cut out in kind of the wild. And there's a little pond right before it, kind of just like guardian pond. And you're overlooking the lower reservoir for Nipah's pump storage. So you can see basically the whole Schoharie Valley from the green. So it has like a real picturesque finish to it. As far as the golf play, for even a good pro, it's pretty far to get there. So it's not like, you know, you're throwing drivers on it, but you also have to have a lot of control. And if you get off on the left or on the right, you're paying for it.
Exactly. You have to commit. That's the one thing I always have a problem with. You fading out early.
That's Mike Fagerstrom's course?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go.
That sounds lovely. I had a lot of plans this year to come up to Discap and play some courses. I still haven't even been to Beacon in like a year now or something like that. It's very sad.
What about hole 14? That also won.
14 at Mindkill's the downhill one between the two Norwegian spruce trees.
Oh, okay. It's almost like a ski slope looking.
Yeah, it's the one that I did all that drone footage of.
Yeah, that's very nice.
So those trees frame up that pin so lovely. Mm. If you're not accurate enough and you're getting in those trees, you're going to miss 10-foot putts.
Yep. Yep. Even trying to lay it up, you overshoot a bit because it's still a downslope too. It's a very good hole.
Yeah, I throw a rock, so it's reachable from the short tee. I throw a rock.
Yeah. All right. Who picked that hole one?
Kenji.
All right. So back to other guys. Ryan.
Pick a good one.
1-9 on the front and 18-10 on
Let's
the back.
Let's see. I'll do hole 3.
Hole 3 is, okay, I think we've discussed this before.
Oh, no.
But I always go back to this because I think it's important. I think people get confused between, and this is going to be concerning rules 806.03 and 803.02. If anybody here can tell me what those rules are, you're a big nerd, but anybody, go ahead.
I don't know the rules, but the numbers.
Whoa.
806.03 is casual area. And 803.02 is relief from obstacles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get the two confused.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of confusion over these rules. I mean, I think one thing that is misunderstood is, like, if your disc falls, just lands under a picnic table, you know, you're not allowed to take relief from a picnic table unless the tournament director declares picnic tables as casual relief.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not even allowed to stand on top. You got to stick a foot underneath it.
Right. Right, exactly. And it's like what I always tell people when they're in that situation, they're like, can I take casual relief? I'm like, did the disc get there? Can you get your foot there?
Yeah.
Then you can pitch out and take your stroke.
Yeah.
There's no hazard going on. So yeah, I always find it funny when people try to pull casual relief from something that's just like an inconvenient lie.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, there's so many prickers here.
This is another thing that drives me insane. You're entitled to a safe lie, one way or another. No one's asking you to endanger mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. But people, when they're looking for relief from these places, often seem to operate under the assumption that they're entitled to a lie that allows them a forward throw. You're not.
No.
Right. Right.
You're not entitled. Right. See, throw it back to the tee. Sometimes you cannot advance the disc. But you can put your foot at your lie, and you can throw the disc, and you can do it safely.
Yep.
Nobody said that you're entitled to a shot at the basket from there, or to even advance the disc. You may have to adopt a stance and throw the thing 10 feet back, you know, and into the fairway to throw again. You are not entitled to a good shot. You're entitled to a safe stance, and if you can't, you know, find a safe stance, you can go back to your original lie. You can go back in the line of play. There's all kinds of ways to get around standing where you don't want to stand. Some of it cost you a stroke. But you're in no way entitled to a forward throw.
Right. We get a lot of people trying to abuse this rule. Not maybe abuse it, but just or try to get more leeway than they should at J-Par. Right. Yeah, sorry, buddy. You got to stick your foot underneath there. Because there's a lot of little crevices and cracks and... Yeah, it's crappy, but you can stick a toe in there and you can pitch that disc somewhere.
Kenji, at first tracks, I noticed one of the things that's an issue at J Park is the big boulders, the erratics, the big massive
boulders. Right, we do have a safety course rule. We will not force you to climb up on those big boulders, but that doesn't mean you can't stick a foot underneath it if your disc slides under it. I don't give you relief in those situations.
I thought it was interesting because Jeff said that you could play behind it or on the side.
Yes, that is probably against PDGA rules, but the course rule to allow, you know, choice and encourage people not to climb on the rocks. That's really what we want. We don't want people ruining the nice moss that's up on some of those big rocks. And we say,
or slipping on the moss and getting hurt.
Exactly. You know? Right. So we say you can take it straight left, straight right, or straight back, whatever way you want to move it.
Yeah. And there's some holes at J Park that I think the reason why you can do it to the left or the right is because if you were to take it back, you could be going back 200 feet, you know, to just strips of mossy rocks, like hole three or.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Certain spots where you don't want to make someone say, oh, I'm climbing up there because I don't want to stand right behind this 20 foot tall rock. You know, that's why we say you can go left or you can go right as well. By the PDGA rule, if we declare relief, you're only allowed to go back. Not on angles.
Yeah.
You know, you can't pick your lie. You can either go straight left, straight right, or straight back. Your choice.
Okay. But do you have to – so in a scenario where a tournament director declares like a box around a bee's nest as casual relief, you know, if you choose to because you're an animal, could you still throw from inside that casual relief area if you decide to?
Yeah, I don't think casual relief is not forced.
Yeah. You can throw throw from the stream, you can throw from the puddle, you can throw from the bee's nest.
But you don't have to. Yeah.
I have it here. Casual area is casual water or any area specifically designated as a casual area by the director before the round. Casual water is any body of water that is in bounds and has not been explicitly declared by the director to be in play. To obtain relief from a casual area, the player's lie may be relocated to the nearest lie, which is farther from the target and is on the line of play at the nearest point that provides relief, unless greater casual relief is announced by the director.
Meaning relief, but not necessarily a good throw.
Right. So we kind of bend that rule to saying greater than, like, yeah, we're saying you can go left and right too.
Yeah, it's a local.
Right. Yeah, local rules. I mean, I wouldn't even say that's against PDGA. There, if you have
it kind of maybe flirts a little bit.
So, yeah. One of the PDGA rules says that you have to abide by all the local course rules. So
there you go.
There you go.
Or you used to. I remember this was like 2016. This Moss at J Park was talked about a lot, and so I kind of did a lot of digging in. Justified it to myself, at least, that it was a PDGA rule, that we were following the local course rule. And the other thing is, technically, like the casual, you could climb up on the rock and play it. But if you damage the moss, it's an environmentally sensitive moss. So you're doing course destruction, which is also covered in the PGA rules.
It's basically dogmatic PGGA rules. If whatever you hold true at J Park, I shall hold true in heaven.
So, Jason, you play open. Have you had any occasions where someone's trying to use that to their advantage? Like in my division, I mentioned it. Rarely does it ever happen. And most of the time, it's me making someone aware, saying, like, yeah, you don't have to move back. You know, you can move left and right and have them, you know, they're not trying to gain an advantage by using it.
Yeah, the only place it really comes up is, what's the new hole number? Old hole 16.
Right, yeah. That's what it comes to my mind, too.
Yeah, because the rock is right next to the basket. And so it was a few years ago, it was maybe the jammer. Somebody took relief to the left, and there were some pros that weren't familiar with the rule that just kind of gave some dirty looks. And then fortunately, there was another discap person on there. So, no, it's a local rule. And okay, yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay, yeah. Instead of going behind that rock, they went to the left and they had an easy putt.
Yeah. So that's the only spot where I've seen it actually come into play, where it actually, you know, somebody questioned it, but.
I haven't been maybe once or twice as it actually come up in all my play at J Park.
All right. Jason, what hole?
We did 1 and 3. We skipped 2. So let's go back to 2.
All right. Kenji, has there been any changes in the top 10 of discap tags?
No. Because the people who went to first tracks, I still have all their tags. I got to hand them out. Well, we were thinking maybe we're going to do the monthly this weekend, but I don't know. The snow is looking shitty. So probably getting pushed back to the end of the month. And then I just sent out all the new ones. So no, people haven't really been doing tag months matches in January yet.
All right. Well,
and this has been your discap tag update.
Exactly. Exciting. Nothing happened yet. Just win
all right. That's cool. That helps us get through 18. Jack, you're up.
15.
15. When was the last?
Whoa.
Okay. when was the last time you had a PB&J?
Oh, boy. That's been a little while. It has been a little while. Nope. Not going to get there. The closest would be like peanut butter and jelly on a cracker. I know I've had that more recently than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But in excess of 3 years.
Anybody longer?
Nope.
I got this. Nailed it.
All right. I don't remember the last time I had one. Who, Jack, that was so Kenji, right?
Oh, let's go with hole 11.
11. Oh, this is no. We'll swap that up. Hold on for just a second. All right, Kenji, what hole would you like to play?
11.
Hole 11 is a quiz now.
All right.
All right. It's on trains for no apparent reason.
Wow.
Give me 2 minutes, because again, yeah. I was trying to cheat and prepare, but I didn't. So
I was kind of hoping 80s music.
Is it choo choo trains or what was the your guys trivia question I just listened to? Was the guy's name Pat Monahan, right?
Yeah, Pat Monahan. It's actually what made me think about it, so I'm not. All right. Hole 11 quiz on trains. Discap. You guys are up first.
Right.
What special car at the end of a train is now virtually extinct with the modern braking system?
It's got to be the caboose, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Caboose. Agree? Okay. You are correct. Is the caboose? No, it's not.
This is the caboose a disc? No.
West Allen Chestertown. Also a brand of dog food. What was the name for the vehicle that would accompany a wagon for train or cowboys and held all the food and cooking supplies?
All right, now we're just spitballing here right now, Pennsylvania.
Also a branded dog food, what was the name for the vehicle that would accompany a wagon train or cowboys and held all the food and cooking supplies?
I'm thinking chuck wagon.
Ryan, do you agree?
Ryan?
He's muted.
Oh, you're muted, Ryan. He might be peeing.
I don't know when he sent that message, but he said, need another beverage, be right back.
Oh man, that's cool.
Give it to him. You know he's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't need help, Ryan.
If I'm right, I'll just take it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, he'll take it. All right, question 3. A true story of how a train got stuck in the snow for days inspired Agatha Christie to write what mystery?
Is that the Orient Express? Right? Murder on the Orient Express?
Final answer?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, you are correct. All right, question 4. For West Allen Chestertown, or maybe just Westchester, we're not sure. A National Association of Wanderers says that even if you've never ridden a freight train, you can still be a what?
Boxcar hobo?
Hobo we would have taken, but boxcar hobo would work.
I like saying boxcar hobo.
I dig it. Question 5. Oh, well, is Ryan there?
I am back, yes.
Do you agree?
Do you agree that
probably
the answer is chuck wagon and hobo?
Yes. All right. Question 5. This is for discount.
Can you define chuck wagon and use it in a sentence, please?
Yes. The hobo found his way to the chuck wagon and
ate all the food.
Boxcar hobo.
All right.
Damn, I really missed out, didn't I?
You really did.
Yeah, we're up to question 5. This is for discount. A train ride and the view from Pike's Peak inspired Catherine Lee Bates to write the words to what patriotic song? A train ride and the view of Pike's Peak inspired Catherine Lee Bates to write the words to what patriotic song?
America the Beautiful? I don't know. That's a guess.
Jason, do you agree?
Yeah, I have nothing better.
There is nothing better because it's America the Beautiful.
All right. Yeah, Kenji.
Question 6, West Allen Chestertown. Walt Disney designed the train logo for what program that distributes new plaything? Let me start that again. Walt Disney designed the train logo for what program that distributes new playthings for kids at Christmas?
Toys for Tots? Isn't that a thing?
Jack?
Let me hear the question again.
Walt Disney designed the train logo.
You say the question one time without stammering. Come on.
Yes, I'll try it. Walt Disney designed the train logo for what program that distributes new playthings for kids at Christmas time? No, I cannot.
Okay. I'm going to go with my partner.
Toys for Tots, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was just like a made-up thing that I heard on a movie somewhere.
No, actually, I believe it's run by the Marines, right?
I didn't know Disney designed that logo. That's cool.
Yeah. And they do it in Long Island. Jade Wesley does
That's where Toys for Tots. Heard it, yeah.
He didn't this year, of course, with COVID, but it'll be back next year better. Right, discount. So
question. Claus is dead. COVID got him.
There's your soundbite.
Now you have just the Marines.
Yep.
All right, question 7 for discount. A pharaoh equinologist is a fancy name for someone who enjoys what hobby, which shares a name with a 1996 Ewan McGregor film. A pharaoh equinologist is a fancy name for someone who enjoys what hobby, which shares a name with a 1996 Ewan McGregor film.
Wow.
Pharaoh equinologist.
And a hobby. That's also an Ewan McGregor film.
From 1996.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? Maybe. A Phantom Menace. No.
I don't know the answer, but I think you're getting colder.
Yeah. 1996 Ewan McGregor movie. What? Isn't he in that like weird replica movie? What's the name of that movie? The Pharaoh Equinologist. Is that like spelunking for mummies or?
Yeah, it's spelunking for mummies.
Yeah. That's a great movie. Shut up, Jack.
Sequel to the Brendan Fraser classic.
Adapted from the novel.
Yeah, could you repeat the question?
Certainly. A pharaoh equinologist is a fancy name for someone who enjoys what hobby, which shares a name with a 1996 Ewan McGregor film.
What hobby? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's gonna be like the something or other, right? Some hobbyist.
Nothing, guys?
The spelunker.
Can we?
That's not in the movie. I can't think of any movie that.
I don't know if steals are eligible, but can we attempt to steal here?
If as long as those guys are are done.
I think they're done. Yeah.
So what do you guys think?
Oh, I was hoping Jack knew. No, but equinologist, equine, isn't that like horses?
Horses, right?
Right.
I think it has something to do with that, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then it must be like the mummification of horses.
Okay. Don't let these jokers lead you astray, Jack. What does pharaoh mean? Isn't that hair?
Is it? Yeah, spell it.
F-E-R-R-O.
Oh, it's iron.
Oh, yeah, or iron derived, yes.
Horseshoe?
Maybe it's horseshoe. Yeah, maybe it has to do with horseshoes. Maybe it's somebody that collects horseshoes.
Or makes horseshoes.
I can't think of any Ewan McGregor movies, though, with that name. Lucky Horse.
Black Beauty?
Oh, it's not a hobby.
No, that's not a hobby. That's a good point.
No, that's good
point.
Final answer?
I think we're getting somewhere. Maybe
18 holes today.
can we get half credit if it has to do with horseshoes?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to say
horseshoes.
Luck of the horseshoes.
We were looking for train spotting.
Train spotting.
What?
We came so close. You were right there. Only to have it
snatched. Right. No, that movie.
Okay, so this is your actual question. That was just for a steal.
Okay.
Question Hold on. Eight. Can you define pharaoh equinology, please?
Train spotting.
Pharaoh
equinology is train spotting.
Yeah. But where's the horse?
It's the local horse. Where's
the horse? It's an iron horse.
That's right.
It's from Iron Horse, one who studies Iron Horse.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's just bullshit. We derived it like from a Latin perspective.
So did we with the iron horse. Just as close as we were.
But you also had to know that they called the train an iron horse.
Jack, I think we did great.
I do. Yeah, I'm proud of us.
I don't disagree.
I'm proud of us.
Good plot.
Just not good enough for a point. That's all. Nice. This is question 8. This is for you guys. West Allen, Chestertown. Officially opened in 1994, what engineering marvel now allows for less than a three-hour trip from Paris to London? Officially opened in 1994, what engineering marvel now allows for a less than three-hour trip from Paris to London?
The Channel?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the English Channel or Channel.
All right. What a funny name for an engineering marvel. Like the Channel.
One question left each. Question 9, Discap. Going up to 150 miles an hour, what Amtrak train running between Boston and D.C. lives up to its speedy name? Going up to 150 miles an hour, what Amtrak train running between Boston and D.C. lives up to its speedy name?
I don't know, Jason. Is that the name of the run? Or the train itself? It's not a bullet train.
Can you repeat the question?
Certainly. Going up to 150 miles an hour, what Amtrak train running between Boston and D.C. lives up to its speedy name?
The Barney Frank Express.
Any ideas, Kenji?
No, I'm thinking it's the name of the line between, but I don't know the name of the line between Boston and D.C.
I think that's I think they call it named after the train, but that's what they call the line as well, I believe. Yeah,
I don't know what that name of that line is.
Any guess? Something lightning, silver bullet, I don't know.
Silver bullet sounds good.
Good guess. What do you guys think, West Allen, Chestertown?
It's the Acela.
Jack?
Acela.
Acela. All right. Final question. This is for West Allen, Chestertown.
West Allen, Chestertown. Right. In the house.
In 1981, Amtrak revived the name of what old Illinois Central train line that was popularized in an Arlo Guthrie song?
Oh, it's got to be one of the four on the Monopoly board, right? B&O has an O in it.
It's Illinois Central.
In 1981, Amtrak revived the name of what old Illinois Central train line that was popularized in an Arlo Guthrie song?
Central. It's Illinois Central.
Final answer?
Not when you say it like that.
what are some other, is that a real train line that you can think of?
A train line that's in the song City of New Orleans by Arlo Guthrie.
Okay, well then I think you're right. Final answer.
Do you want to reverse that, Jack?
Central Illinois.
What was the name of the song?
Oh, City of New Orleans.
Final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct. City of New Orleans.
I was suspense.
Because he knew that much about it.
Yeah. As soon as he said it's from the song, I'm like, then why are you even asking me for an opinion here? I was going to go with Reading Railroad.
Right, you know.
So I got 6-3 after that round. Nobody got train spotting. And that was Kenji. So we're back to, or who's up? Ryan, Jack, one of you guys.
Sure.
What do you got?
Pick a kid.
What do we got left?
On the front, we got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. On the back, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. You guys are on the fringes.
All right. We're going to go with 17.
17. What is the oldest voicemail stored in your phone right now?
Whoa.
I want to find out. Of the four of you, it's worth a bonus point for your team, whoever has the oldest.
Oh, that's a bummer because I just got a new phone.
I got a new phone at Christmas, so mine would be... I don't think I have any voicemail stored in my phone.
October 9th.
I got some from 2017.
Jesus, Jason. What?
Jack, can you beat 2017?
I'm looking. No.
What are you rocking there, Jason? Like an iPhone 4?
No, it's iPhone 8.
Motorola Razr. Yeah, no, I can't touch that. They're all current.
All right. So that makes it 6-4.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Discap that, your whole.
That didn't take any knowledge. That was just a no willingness to upgrade your telephone.
Hey, we got hobo.
Hey, you guys got, what was it, New Orleans?
Yeah, see? What hole you want to play, Kenji Jason?
Is us, what are we up to? We do 5?
Hole 5? Here's a question for you, scenario. All right, Kenji, and everybody's going to have an option if they want to. But we're in a foursome playing together. We're playing single. We both throw our drives in the circle. Mine's 15 feet short. Yours is 20 feet long. Who would you have putt first?
You. Technically, you're supposed to ask me to be able to, but I wouldn't care, and I'd tell you to putt. Just because it's, you know, easier as we're walking up along.
Yeah, it's more of a question of rule versus etiquette.
Right, exactly.
Right, because it's not... Technically, according to the rule, it only says whoever's furthest away throws.
Technically, if you threw your pot and didn't ask me, I could call you on a courtesy violation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I always go with flow. I don't know. Anybody have a differing opinion?
Well, So Pat, if you and I are you know, walking up to the discs, yours comes up first, right? And mine comes up second. If you're amenable, I would let you putt first, and then as we're walking away.
My feeling is because that way, if I'm putting, I'm not looking at you, and vice versa. You know, if you're putting, if I make you go putt first, you're looking at me.
But
I'm,
you know, have to walk past my desk.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a redundant almost. But I guess
now, this is going to depend a little bit. If it's match play, I'm making you putt.
Well, that's
right. Exactly. If it's match play, I'm going to tell the person who's 20 feet away first.
Honestly, in a very competitive round, I would understand also if it was like 3 holes to go in the final round. I would understand if somebody said, you know what, I know it's whatever, but I'd really rather you throw first. It's your throw. I don't know. I guess it depends on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, situational. Yeah. I mean, definitely.
Also depends on the person, for sure. I'm super impatient, so I would already have walked up to my 20-footer before you've walked up to your 15. Because I'm ready to putt and get rid of, you know, finish the hole.
So, yeah, we're all in agreement. We all let you putt first, but by the rules, it's technically the 20-footer first.
Yeah. And again, it would go... depends on the competitive nature of the round, too.
Yes, definitely.
I just find it seems, and this is just an observation, maybe who I'm playing with, but I notice a lot of people just, everybody's afraid to putt. You know what I mean? It's like, just putt, you know?
Yeah. I've noticed that. And so my MO these days is if I'm behind my disc and nobody else is like anxious to putt, I'm all in on it and I'm going to get my putt over with.
You know what I used to do is I would do that. I'm the same way, but my problem is I would then rush.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've seen you do that.
So that's what I just need to be like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go at my pace. And
yeah, that's
definitely an issue.
That is the, you know, the catch-22 about go. Even if you're like closer, you know, and you decide like, oh, let me just tap this in. then all of a sudden you step up to it and you're just like, oh God, maybe I needed more time on this one. It's a little downhill. It's a little headwind.
Yeah. Ryan, what hole are you going to play?
Hole 13, Pat.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
Anybody watch hockey?
I've watched like a period so far. Not really.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I just haven't really.
Lots of drama in Rangers town.
Lundqvist had to retire, right? Or
yeah, well, Lundqvist actually got he got bought out by the Rangers, picked up by the Capitals, but then he had a he had to have open heart surgery. He had a valve problem, so he's his days are done. Yeah, it's very sad. But no, at the end of a game on I think it was Saturday night. on the way, so it was like an overtime. They're playing the Penguins, and it was overtime. And the goalie and this defenseman Tony DeAngelo, who's like a sort of firebrandy Twitter, you know, PR nightmare kind of character. He him and the goalie had a little mishap, and it led to a turnover. And Sidney Crosby obviously sunk a point, and they won it in overtime. And apparently, on the way to the dressing room. Down the tunnel, Tony said something to the goalie, and the goalie clocked him in the face. and you know, the players didn't defend Tony DeAngelo. They defended the goalie and broke up the fight, and now Tony DeAngelo's got put on waivers, even though he's on like a $5 million two-year contract. So, yeah, Rangers drama. Quite fun. Quite fun. Oh, and they've only won two games this year out of like 10.
He was on a $5 million contract?
Yeah, I mean, this is hockey. This isn't baseball, because amateurs get paid like more than professional hockey players.
Yeah, Cespedes was making close to like 25, and he sat out. And Stroman was making, 15, 12 to 15. He sat out. And nothing against them. You can't. What are you going to say? But
it's amazing. The best hockey players in the world, with the salary cap, they make $11 million a year.
Yeah,
which is peanuts.
Ryan, what hole are you going to play?
15. All right. You play 15?
No. What do you want to talk about? Oh, hockey. Okay, boom. There we go. Actually, say hole 13, Ryan, because we just did 15. We did do
hole 13, Pat.
Awesome. All right, Kenji. Start throwing out numbers. I'll tell you if it's
awesome. All right, Pat,
Kenji. Talk about your favorite sport, and then that'll be hole 12.
No, we got 4, 6, 7, 8, 6, 12, 6. Science quiz. Here, Jack, quick question.
Yep.
Which space shuttle, the second to be put in service, was lost on January 28th, 1986, as the result of a faulty O-ring 73 seconds after launch?
Challenger.
Just wanted to give you that, next but that's not the quiz. Hey, is that a disc? Okay. Science quiz score right now is 6-4, disc cap trailing. They'll go first. Question one, the category is disc or no disc science. So the answer, I'm going to ask you, you answer it and then tell me whether the answer is the name of a disc or not a disc.
Gotcha.
Question one for disc cap. Around 1080, Chinese scientist Shen Kuo made the first scientific mention of what magnetic devices? Around 1080, Chinese scientist Shen Kuo made the first scientific mention of what magnetic devices?
Compass?
It's the only, only magnetic device I can think of. And that is a disc.
I agree.
You are correct. The compass, and it is a disc.
So it was a magnet. So you couldn't have lost there. Magnet. Also a disc.
All right. See, we're question two, and you guys are already tied.
Are these worth two?
No, well, yeah, you get a point for the answer, and then a point if you're right, yes or no, if it's a disc or not.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Question two. This is for you guys. What type of structural material is named for its small wood fragments pressed together and bonded? What type of structural material is named for its small wood fragments pressed together and bonded?
Probably particle board or particle plywood. Board,
but plywood's not small fragments. Plywood's sheets that are
yeah, it's so true. I would say
particle board.
Final answer?
Or MDF. MD, that's a...
State?
That's a disc.
I don't know. Particle
board? Yeah, I think you're right.
I've never heard of a particle board disc. Is there a particle?
Is that your final answer? Particle board?
Ryan?
Should it be, Pat?
Audience?
I think it's the final answer.
I was only looking for the type of material, so particle.
Okay.
The MVP. Damn it.
Yeah. Oh, you just gave it to us.
That was the board mode.
I was just, Kenji, I've been so trying. Man.
Pretty sure that's a disc.
Is the particle a disc?
No, no, Pat. No, it isn't.
Trying.
And question three. Back to discraft. Discat. All right, question three. Iron is Fe because IR was taken by what element?
Radium?
Iron. What's that?
Is that radium, right? IR?
Jason?
Yes, sounds right.
Is the iridium a disc?
They said iridium.
They said they didn't say right, iridium. They said radium.
Iridium, iridium.
And now you're
they did, okay.
So there's that company element. But I've never heard of that disc.
See, yes, it's gotta be. There's so many out there.
Final answer, yes?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we'll go with it.
You're correct. Element
all right.
Discs.
All right.
They make the iridium.
I'm sorry. IR, so I probably just assumed hearing the
I'm
I.
Just saying we're even.
Yeah, I did say the I. I did mispronounce it.
All right, question four. This is for West Allen Chestertown. Seen between the stars of Orion's sword, M42 is what type of galactic cloud of dust and gas that gets its name from the Latin for cloud? Seen between the stars of Orion's sword, M42 is what type of galactic cloud of dust and gas that gets its name from the Latin for cloud?
Probably a comet, which is a discraft disk, but what are some other celestial bodies?
I don't think comet is Latin for cloud.
Yes, you're probably right. Say it again, Pat. What's the question?
Seen between the stars of Orion's sword, M42 is what type of galactic cloud of dust and gas that gets its name from the Latin for cloud?
It's nebula.
Oh, final that makes answer? Sense. Yeah. Yes. I like that much better.
Is the nebula a disk?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Yeah, yeah. It was predictable.
Kind of the cat.
He always asks that. Nebula. I have not myself heard of a nebula. Now, that means nothing on this particular podcast, listener. We learned many amazing new things about what actually are discs.
Right. You could be Dave Denapace and be stumped by
we
Pat.
We haven't had a let's no see. Yet.
I that's exactly my logic. So, yeah, there's not a disc called a nebula.
That was the Ace Race disc, right? It was a nebula.
God damn it.
Oh, God damn it.
What is it? Is it a putter?
I think it's like a fairway driver.
They said 2008 Ace Race.
2008?
Mid-range, I think it said.
Yeah. It flew much like a wasp without the feeling of the bead. Which, by the way, the wasp,
that's a buzz.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it ever made a production.
I think a wasp, though, is a lot more stable than a buzz.
It is. So, I mean, do you know the original, the original buzz was, had been machined as a wasp, and they physically removed the bead?
I've heard about that. Yeah, I've heard that. I will say that I love the wasp. There's not, I cannot find a mid-range that glides and also dumps as reliably as a wasp.
The buzz in my, I replaced my buzz with a wasp and a comet.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which makes a lot of sense because you want something that goes straight and you want something that turns left reliably. I'm in the, right now for me, it's like I throw rock threes and I have a wasp for certain scenarios, but like the rock three is just, it doesn't fade as reliably as I want. And the wasp I can kind of crank on. It'll always go left and it'll do it further than my zone. So it's kind of right in that sweet spot. I found the drones are a little too stable. I found the Justice is too stable. I think the wasp, the zone and the rock three combo is like perfect.
The rumor was when Bobby Copperthwaite got picked up by Innova, he was throwing an Innova-stamped zone.
You're kidding. Yeah. That would be my hardest disc to give up. I think if I really had to, because I can throw Innova everything, but except the AVR X3, the Rhino, none of it's the same as a zone. It's none of it has the same feel and predictable fade.
I would be the Star Gator for that spot.
The Gator. I just don't like the feel of the Gator. And I love beads, but I love the four-hand feel.
I don't care for the bead. That's why I got the beadless star. Fine now. The beadless star, which is like a mortar now, I guess.
Or caiman, I guess you could throw if you want to be a skater.
It's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit different.
Isn't that what the caiman is?
I found the caiman.
Innova makes so many discs. Like the freaking lion is the same flight numbers as like a Rock 3, and it just feels and throws so much different. It's like, why did you need to make the lion? You have a Rock 3. I don't understand.
All right. This is for Disc Cap. Question 5. 1-2 lashes attached to your real lashes using what?
What the hell is he talking what? About?
That's some sort of cement. What is it?
Say it again.
Like a horse glue or what the fuck it's called? It's...
Question 5. 1-2 lashes, like eyelashes, attached to your real lashes using what?
Spirit gum. Spirit gum. Spirit gum.
I think that's right. Is the spirit gum a disc?
Is the spirit a disc? The spirit gum a disc? It can't be a spirit gum.
Is that your final answer, spirit gum?
I think that's right, Jason.
I have no idea, so I'll go with you on this one. This isn't science. I thought we were on science. What's going on?
some sort of glue, right?
Yeah, it's got to be some kind of adhesive, right?
Spirit gum is the stuff they use to keep your wig down, right? Isn't the same stuff in your lashes?
1-2 lashes.
So some kind of sticking residue type thing?
Yeah.
Glue or something? What do you guys think, Jack and Ryan?
That's right.
Ryan, you've been thinking on this? Or were you
1-2 lashes attached to your real lashes using what?
What's the first word that you're saying, Pat?
1-2. The numbers, 1-2. 1-2 lashes, they're called. It's a brand of lash.
Oh, eyelash. Okay. I had no idea.
I'm sorry.
1-2 lashes adhere to your eyelashes using what?
Yeah.
Ryan, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to adhere lashes. My eyelashes.
Oh, yeah, he's stuck on mute.
Oh, stuck on mute.
Can you type it?
Am I on mute?
How about now?
Am I muted?
I hear you, Jack.
I unmuted you on here.
Okay. Do you hear me? Kenji hears me.
It's just Ryan's muted, right?
Oh, Ryan.
Yeah, but...
And he's typing away.
He said spirit, see?
he's advocating for spirit.
Spirit. Okay. Sure. Spirit. Yes. All right. Finally.
We were looking for the magnet.
Oh,
all right.
That's what I thought. Was
that's what I said, right? Spirit gum. We kind of got all kind of blue. Was turned down. Boo.
And that's a disc. And that is a disc.
Yes, the magnet is a disc. Pat.
We're up to question 6. This is for West Allen Chestertown.
Oh my God.
James Chadwick won the 1935 Nobel Prize in Physics for the discovery of what subatomic particle with no charge? James Chadwick won the 1935 Nobel Prize in Physics for the discovery of what subatomic particle with no charge?
That'd be a neutron.
Jack, do you agree?
I have to. I mean, it sounds right.
Is the neutron a disc?
It's a brand new dance craze, I can tell you that.
Are you just burning?
Neutron. It's a plastic that MVP makes.
Oh, that sounds right.
Well,
that sounds dangerous. That sounds like a trap.
Right, because if you were MVP, would you name your plastic after a disc? You know, a company that had disc made or named the same thing.
Here's what I know for a fact. It's the volts that kill you, not the amps.
It's true.
Final answer?
I'm leaving this in your hand, partner.
Is the neutron a disc? I'm trying to see.
It could be like a double trap. Like there is a neutron, but it's not MVP. It's like
it's true.
Defunct.
It can't disc be. I've never heard of a neutron.
These are all currently PDG.
I've never heard of a neutron. I've never heard of a. Although didn't yeah no because there's no okay is there a proton?
Ooh.
Is there an electron? They're all plastics made by MVP. They're not discs.
But they could be discs.
But they're not. Final answer.
Boom. No disc.
You are correct.
Oh, yes. All right. Reason that one out.
All right. Question 7. This is for Disc Cap. What does mass times acceleration equal?
God. There's
force.
All right. So Jason, Jason and I hail from prestigious engineering universities. This is child's play here, Pat. Come on.
But I like the force. Is the force a disc?
Yes, disc graph.
You are correct. All right.
Ryan, I have to say, this is all my fault. I made such a mess of last podcast competition.
What happened? It was the first time feeling the pressure. Like, oh, what? I should know this.
They couldn't tell you their mom's name.
I'm an old pro here. I've been under the pressure cooker, Pat's pressure cooker, a couple of times.
That's why they get questions like force.
This is for West Allen Chestertown. Question 8. What type of device is Seth Brundle experimenting with when it is disrupted by a fly in a 1986 movie? What type of device is Seth Brundle experimenting with when it is disrupted by a fly in a 1986 movie?
Teleporter, right?
I'm assuming that there's a movie called The Fly. That was made before I was born.
It was also remade.
It was actually a remake.
There's two before you were born.
We're gonna have to go with teleporter.
Sounds good.
Is the teleport a disc?
It is. It is. Yeah.
Boom.
You are correct. MVP. Question 9. Discat. Discovered in the early 20th century, what two particles, one with a positive charge, the other a packet of energy, differ by a single letter? Discovered in the early 20th century, what two particles, one with a positive charge, the other a packet of energy, differ by a single letter?
So like proton, electron, neutron. Is that where you're going with this? With a single letter throws me off.
Yeah. Say it again, Fett.
Yeah. Discovered in the early 20th century, what two particles? So we got two particles that were discovered in the 20th century, in the early 20th century. One of them has a positive charge. The other is a packet of energy. They differ by a single letter, their names.
So a proton is a positive charge, right? And what's the...
Oh, and a photon. Photon. The R and the H. Okay.
Good job.
Yeah.
Is
I was thinking like the first letter was different, so that's what's throwing me off. But
is the proton a disc?
I think Ryan already worked this out for us, right?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, is this a trick? I don't know.
Ah, is it a trick?
Is it a proton? A plastic?
Yeah, he was saying it was a plastic.
Is it disc too?
I don't know MVP that well.
Element disc? Let's go yes.
Well, all element discs are elements. That would be hydrogen if it were an element.
No bonus points for
hydrogen. I'm thinking no, but proton. Wait, is it proton or photon?
Actually, I'm going to ask you both. So what we're starting with proton. Is the proton a disc?
I don't know.
So yes.
Yeah, let's do. Yeah, both of them are discs.
50%.
Proton is not, because Ryan figured that out for you.
All right.
But the photon is. The photon is an MVP disc from February 2015. But you still get
a... They actually make a proton photon.
I don't want that photon.
Is the proton photon a disc? Yes, it is.
Right.
Yeah. Final question. West Allen, Chestertown. The developers of what type of battery that powers smartphones and electric cars won the 2019 Nobel Chemistry Prize?
Yeah, lithium ion.
Is the lithium a disc?
Probably. It's an element. And I know there's like over 100 elements, but I'm pretty sure that I remember throwing a lithium element disc. I don't know. What do you think, Jack?
I'm willing to back that play. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Okay. Is the ion a disc?
Yeah. MVP makes the ion.
Boom, you guys just got 3 points on that.
Steaming.
And you end up, that was 10 points. You won 10-8 in that round, which put you up 16-12.
That's a big win for us, West Down.
Yes.
Wait, so just to recap, who won there? Wester Allen, so Chestertown.
Our winning team tonight with 16 points, West Allen, Chestertown. They defeated Discap at 12 points. Congratulations, gentlemen.
Woo!
Well, I'm glad that we could restoke this rivalry between Capital Region Disc Club and
West Allen Chestertown. I will tell you, though, that if Jason and I were on the same team for the science questions, you guys were doomed.
Okay, Nebula.
Oh, yeah, you got me on Nebula. That's for sure.
Well, before we end, we'll go around the room and we'll start with Jason. What team wins the Super Bowl this year, Jason? I mean, the big game this year, Jason. The Superb Owl.
So who's in the Super Bowl this year?
Kansas City and Tampa Bay. the Chiefs and the Buccaneers.
I'll go with Tampa Bay because I have no idea.
Tom Brady. Kenji, what do you think?
Yeah, Brady's going to get another one.
Jack?
If it's bad for Belichick, it's good for me. I'll go with Brady.
Wow. Ryan, what are you thinking?
As a longtime Jets fan, I have to go against John Brady, regardless of which team he's playing for. So we'll go with KC, who is likely going to win anyways, because Patrick Mahomes is like 18. Tom Brady is like 45 years old. So
yeah,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's been a long postseason for Brady.
I'll tell you, though, them being an older team with him and Gronkowski, that extra week is really going to help. I think that's one of the things that
it will
help a little bit.
I think you're right.
But thanks for taking the time, fellas. Sweet up Hudson Valley, and don't throw on snow-covered tee pads. We didn't get
that's a fact. Everywhere, right? Don't do it.
We just did a big overhaul at Hackett. The disc catchers that we had, and Pat, you've been there, so you might remember mm-hmm. this. The disc catchers had the galvanized chains had just rusted out.
Yeah.
And these were only, I mean, they were installed in, I think, 2006.
18 or 24s.
They're the 24s. And so I talked to Innova, and they replaced every single one of them.
That's what I was going to say. Innova's got a 20-year warranty. They should have replaced those.
And they did.
They don't want you staring at targets that say Innova and are
greasy and rusty and nasty. Yeah,
they'll give you stickers too. Like, so we painted powder coated targets, and they sent us a full complement of the stickers that go on them.
Nice. They
want them looking nice.
Yeah. It was a very easy exchange, and we did pay for a top on one of the baskets that was basically ruined. The inside ring that the chains lay against was gone, so it was kind of double looped on the loops. And actually, during a tournament last year,
something got spit out.
Connor Endy. Oh yeah, so it was so funny. So Connor Endy, fantastic disc golfer. I was, I think he's like Birdie and Discmania sponsored. I was on his card, and he was having the round of his life. Like, I mean, he was probably 12 or 13 down with a couple to play, and the record at Hackett during a tournament, I think, is 14 down. Dan Brooks Wells has it, and he had an easy birdie on this basket, the one with the missing inside chains or missing inside. Circle up top, and he's got a very powerful spin putt, and he hit dead center, and the thing just spit out. And then he was like, you know, a little frustrated. So we all go up to the basket to tap in, and he throws the disc down into the cage to like set it down, and it bounces out and it hits me. And we're just like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do here. But so he went from, you know, from a birdie. He was just, we looked at each other, and he was just like dumbfounded, just mouth agape. And he ended up winning anyways. But I mean, he was on the path in a trajectory for like the course record. And it was just such a bummer to see that. And after that, I was just like, okay, we got to do something about these baskets. Because nobody's ever going to want to play here again. That's after wrong. That. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what was annoying was the town or the city of Easton, they actually welded the tops onto the poles. So we had to angle grind those. Oh God, it was awful.
Some of the original targets at FDR started their life on Rikers Island.
I'm not kidding.
And the Rikers Island guy welded on the baskets, the chain rings, and like the tab.
The S hooks. Yeah,
so those were quite challenging to work with.
Holy crap.
There are a couple of them out there that we had to refinish in place. There was just no way
to tear them down. That's crazy. Yeah, one of them, hole 15's basket at Hackett, is still yet to be replaced because for some reason, somebody like bang the top of it so that the actual pole has like bent around the top of the disc catcher. It's just like, who did that? Like, who did that? And we haven't fixed that yet. But But the course looks so much better with fresh chains. Oh, so much better.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Sure. Make that hole. Yeah. You can make that hole 11, Pat. Ryan, tell us about your course. Yeah.
So, Ryan, you might want to try to like a refresh. You just went to mute.
I need my partner. You're
going to replace him with like a type to text.
Spirit.
Boo.
Oh, yeah, he's going to.
Reboot.
I last question. What the hell is that? Magnet.
I wanted to find a tricky way to get magnet in there.
Yeah.
That's good, Dom. I have no idea.
Sometimes it can be too tricky. Sometimes I outthink myself.
Well, you're asking a bunch of dudes about extended eyelash questions.
Usually about an hour in, I always somehow get disconnected a lot of times. It's usually something stupid, like I hit my headphone cable, and if it comes out, I have to refresh it. You know what I mean? I have to close the page out because even if I plug it back in, it's not going to recognize it for some reason.
Yeah, so. I'm superstitious about my screen like going to sleep, so I have to constantly like move my mouse around because I'm afraid if my screen goes to sleep, the whole thing's going to die.
Mm. All right, waiting for.
You have any interesting stories, Jason?
No.
No.
What's going on? Didn't Mindkill had an update for the tournament?
Yeah, we have the dates. That's about it right now. But
what's that?
So first, we're sticking with the old tradition. First weekend in June, so June 5th and 6th. Oh. So I've already started discussions with the park manager and got the permit process going. But I'm going to hold off on registration a little bit just because. I don't want to have to make changes like we did last year. So, I'm excited to have it in June again.
That's awesome. That's actually not a bad course for the summer either because it's got some nice shaded area.
Yeah.
It's also got its open stuff too. But
that's one of the courses on my list of courses I'm embarrassed I haven't played yet.
It's a great course. Lots of fun.
I usually get up there at least once a year. So, like Fatty will be like, hey, let's go. And we'll get a carload. Oh, wait, pre-COVID, of course.
Right.
Yeah, I was surprised hole 6 didn't do better on the Discap Dream 18.
Hole 6, is that the hill?
Yeah, it's the sleigh riding mound.
Mm. Yeah, and that's actually... What ended up winning, do you remember?
There were some good contenders.
Ryan's rebooting, and I actually have somewhere here. I got hole 6 was Blatnick's hole 6.
Oh, Blatnick, yeah. That's a good hole.
Jack, you'll be guessing blind, but Kenji and Jason mostly. How many courses do you think were represented in the Dream 18? How many different courses, I mean?
Hello?
Hey.
Oh, hey, Ryan.
Oh,
you
made it.
I don't know how many courses were in the Dream 18.
I'd guess like around 6.
What do you think, Kenji?
Right, we've got to be Heiser, Jays.
Heiser was a bunch. A bunch of holes were Heiser.
Stony Kill.
Oh, is it? Maybe it's
did
more.
Central Park get any? Did they get 15 or I think?
I think they
Central
did. Park. Yeah, so it might be more.
Mindkill might be more. It didn't really include Wilcox, right?
No, Wilcox was out. Did Shen get any?
I'm not sure if Shen got any.
Only thing is 17.
Price the King get any?
Oh yeah, hole 7, right?
Right. So that's like 7 or 8 different courses, maybe.
What's your final answer? You
got to
decide.
I don't know.
You'd have 7 or 8. I don't know. Which is it? How much time here in front of me?
Yeah. How much time do we have?
Which one are you going with?
I think 7, right?
Yeah, there's, 7 sounds good.
I don't think none of Saratoga made it.
It is 8.
It is 8.
Which course was represented the most?
I think Heiser.
Kenji, you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
4 times. There was a tie for 2nd at 3. Who can you guess?
Jay Park and what was the second? Christ the King?
Mindkill.
I'm thinking with Mindkill had 9. Mindkill? No, they Mindkill only had
got
2.
9, 14, and.
Oh, did they get 18 too? No, we had 18.
Was it Central Park? Central Park got 15.
I think Central Park had 18.
18. Maybe it's Central Park. Jay and something.
Jay Park and Central Park, and Jason's correct. Central Park had 18. The others getting multiples was Christ the King, Mindkill, and Stony Kill. And then the other two, Blatnick and Shen and Taha, each had 1. That's pretty good that it's spreading out now.
Yep. We have a good array of courses around.
More baskets.
Ha ha.
That's right. That's our club logo.
Not a logo.
Club motto. More baskets. It's actually our mission statement in our like formal paperwork.
That's awesome.